Beethoven Violin Concerto in D Major, Opus 61, 1806, Lecture 3.
We return to Beethoven's Violin Concerto in D Major, Opus 61, from 1806. We have just completed listening to the exposition of the first movement. Again, I would review these salient issues that we just discussed. This is two pieces in one, this first movement of the Violin Concerto. At one level, it is a lyric concerto in the tradition of the classical concerto, in that it features memorable and elegant thematic presences, theme one and theme two, both in D major, molded for that marvelous violin of Franz Clement, the person responsible for having Beethoven write this concerto. But at another level, this is a very inventive, almost revolutionary, and strictly heroic work by Beethoven because of the way Beethoven treats the intervening material. The true action from a dramatic point of view of this movement lies not in the themes, which contrast only slightly and which are both marked by a high degree of lyricism. No, the great dramatic action in this movement takes place in the intervening materials, harmonic ambiguities, the drum tap motive manipulated in new and unexpected ways, and shocking and often jarring changes of key during transitional and bridge sections. This dichotomy, this polarity between the lyricisms of the themes, which draws from the nature of Clement's violin, and Beethoven's interest in creating conflict and harmonic ambiguity, creates a kind of two movements in one. And that is how we will explore the remainder of the piece. All right, exposition two proceeds very much along the lines of Exposition 1, at least at first, with the obvious addition of the solo violin and its elaboration and extension of the themes we've already heard. Despite the violin extensions and elaborations, though, all proceeds pretty much as it did in Exposition 1. We have Theme 1 stated in its two phrases, each preceded by a drum tap. We have those mysterious D sharps, once again, as we did above. Phrase C of the theme at measure 118. We have a modulatory bridge, which is not as shocking or as unexpected as the one in the first exposition. We have theme two in A minor and A major and A minor, as we would expect. I should say something about this. The tradition of double exposition form, what we expect in terms of key area is the following. The first exposition is supposed to be, at least the themes are supposed to be, both in the same key. This is in double exposition form. And to that degree, Beethoven plumbs that tradition. He stays within that traditional guideline. Both his themes, indeed, are in the key of D. It's the other stuff, all the D sharps and B flat, G minor, D minor stuff in the bridge transition that are not in D major. Indeed, the first exposition ends in D major in the home key. Now, according to tradition, it is for the second exposition, and usually for the soloist, to bring us to a new key area. And according to the basic guidelines here, Beethoven's staying within tradition. Beethoven has the first theme of his Exposition 2 in D major. And finally, the second theme exhibits the key change we would expect it to. He goes to the key of 5, the dominant key, A major. Everything is working according to Hoyle so far. He's finally changed key. He's gone to A. That's the key he's supposed to be in the second half of the second exposition, for reasons we will discuss at another time and place. Suffice for now to say that according to tradition, the large-scale outlines, that is, the keys the themes are in, is staying within the guidelines of double exposition form. And so it would seem that the second exposition is proceeding as it should and as we expect it to. We hear theme two in the expected key of A. Then we hear the cadential material. Now before we heard three sections of cadence material, the cadence theme, a brief tutti, and that marvelous violin and cello dialogue. Now we have a much extended section of cadence material, considerably extended. Part one features the cadence theme. Part two features the tutti. Part three features the dialogue as before. But then things start to change at part four of the cadence theme. And if we thought we knew where we were, soon we will not. I would read part four of the cadence theme.